This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 6 o'clock, and coming up next is Sojourner Truth. KBOO programming is made possible by cable listener members and support from Portland Saturday Market, 45 years of handmade arts and crafts, fresh food, and local music. Open every Saturday and Sunday through Christmas Eve at Waterfront Park in downtown Portland. Open daily from December 19th through 24th for the Festival of the Last Minute. Event schedule, vendor information, and more is available online at PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Today, an in-depth look at how women, migrants in Central America, mothers in search of their children lost along the migrant trail, have organized themselves and now have joined with mothers from the continent of Africa and other countries to form a global movement of Mothers of the Disappeared. We look into the history of the Mothers of the Disappeared in Argentina and their global impact, and Zapatista Women, their first international women-only gathering, the first international gathering of politics, art, sport for women in struggle. We discuss Zapatista Women and the new feminism, and the migrant caravans that have made their way from Honduras and other Central American countries to the United States. Also, the new NAFTA and their wider implications, and the impact of Donald Trump's bashing of Mexicans on binationals living in Mexico. Our guest is activist and journalist based in Mexico City, Laura Carlson. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Now for our news headlines.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Eileen Alfandari. The U.S. Senate voted 56-41 to put a halt to U.S. support for the Saudi-led war in Yemen. Seven Republicans voted to support the first time Congress has invoked the War Powers Act resolution. Independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders called passage historic.
And today, what the United States Senate said in a very loud way, that we will not continue to have our military posture dictated by a despotic, murderous regime in Saudi Arabia, a regime which does not respect democracy, does not respect human rights, a regime whose leader, nobody doubts, was involved in the horrific murder of a dissident journalist in the Saudi consulate in Turkey, Jamal Khashoggi.
In a separate resolution, the Senate unanimously put the blame for Khashoggi's murder on Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Republican Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chair Bob Corker sponsored that measure.
This is now unanimously, the United States Senate has said that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is responsible for the murder of Jamal Khashoggi.
The U.S. provides targeting guidance and in-air refueling for Saudi coalition warplanes, which have carried out airstrikes on weddings, hospitals, schools, and markets in Yemen. The U.S. also provides many of the bombs that have killed thousands of Yemeni civilians. A 7-year-old girl who crossed the U.S.-Mexico border with her father last week died after being taken into the custody of the U.S. Border Patrol. The Washington Post reports the girl died of dehydration and shock more than 8 hours after she was detained by agents in New Mexico. The girl was from Guatemala. She was traveling with a group of 163 people who approached agents to turn themselves in on December 6. It's unknown what happened to the girl during those 8 hours before she started having seizures and was flown to a hospital. In a statement, Customs and Border Protection said the girl had not eaten or drunk water in several days. It's unclear whether officials gave her any food or water during the 8-plus hours she was in custody. The ACLU Border Rights Center said migrant deaths increased last year, even as the number of border crossings dropped. The center said, quote, "This tragedy represents the worst possible outcome when people, including children, are held in inhumane conditions, lack of accountability, and a culture of cruelty within CBP have exacerbated policies that lead to migrant deaths." President Donald Trump's former longtime personal attorney and fixer says in an interview with ABC that President Trump directed him to buy the silence of two women during the 2016 campaign because he was concerned about how their stories of affairs with him would affect the election. Earlier this week, a judge sentenced Cohen to 3 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to several charges, including campaign finance violations and lying to Congress. Prosecutors have said Trump directed Cohen to arrange the payments to buy the silence of Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal in the run-up to the 2016 campaign. ABC's George Stephanopoulos questioned Cohen.
He's saying very clearly that he never directed you to do anything wrong. Is that true?
I don't think there's anybody that believes that. First of all, nothing at the Trump Organization was ever done unless it was run through Mr. Trump. He directed me, as I said in my allocution, and I said as well in the plea, he directed me to make the payments. He directed me to become involved in these matters.
Cohen said the decision to pay off Daniels, who alleged she had sex with a married Trump in 2006, was made soon after an old Access Hollywood tape surfaced in which Trump was heard boasting about sexually assaulting women and getting away with it. A federal appeals court has thrown out a permit for an Atlantic Coast pipeline to cross two national forests, including parts of the Appalachian Trail. The court harshly criticized federal regulators for approving the proposal. The U.S. Forest Service granted a special use permit to build the natural gas pipeline through parts of the George Washington and Monongahela National Forests and granting a right-of-way across the Appalachian Trail. The court ruling said the Forest Service abdicated its responsibility to preserve national forest resources. The decision also quoted The Lorax by Dr. Seuss, saying the Forest Service is trusted to, quote, "speak for the trees have no tongues." French President Emmanuel Macron will head to Strasbourg this evening, a day after the suspect in Tuesday's attack near the city's famous Christmas market was shot dead in a confrontation with police. Three people died in the Strasbourg attack. The 29-year-old suspected gunman, Sharif Chakat, who was born in Strasbourg, was killed by police after a two-day manhunt. I'm Eileen Alfandari. You're listening to Sojourner Truth on Pacifica Radio.
And those were our news headlines. And I would now like to welcome our guests. Stay with us for the hour. We're doing an in-depth discussion focusing on south of the border. We'll be talking about mothers whose children have been lost along the migrant trail, how they've organized themselves, and how they've now joined with mothers from other countries to form a global movement of mothers of the disappeared. We talk about the Zapatista women and, of course, the migrant caravans, the new NAFTA agreement between Mexico and the United States, Trump's bashing of people of Mexican descent, and more. So you're going to want to stay with us, an in-depth discussion with Laura Carlson. Laura, welcome.
Thanks so much, Margaret.
Laura Carlson is the director of the Americas Program for the Center for International Policy. Based in Mexico City, she is a regular contributor to Counterpunch, Fortune, America's Updater, Foreign Policy in Focus, and several Spanish language publications. Laura Carlson is also a television host and commentator on NAFTA, the drug war, immigration, and gender issues for various international news outlets, and she is also an activist on both sides of the border. Is that okay, Laura, to say that about
yes,
you?
Yes, I that was an apt description.
Okay. Laura, what we're going to do is to start off this discussion on the migrant caravans. There have been a series of migrant caravans, and we're going to go to a clip from DW English.
Every Friday, armed gangs forced these young barbers to cut their hair. On one occasion, they were caught up in a shootout with police. The barbers closed their salon to escape, but lived in constant fear for their lives. That's why they decided to abandon their homes and set off for the United States.
I had to go to the gang members to cut their hair. But I couldn't keep doing it, out of fear. I spoke about it with my cousin, and we decided to flee. We're afraid and just want to work in peace.
As well as violence, economic problems are pushing people to migrate. Almost three-quarters of all Hondurans live in poverty, according to some estimates. And more than half of the self-employed there live in extreme poverty.
We are searching for a better homeland and opportunities to work. We want to move our families forward. People cannot bear this situation any longer. The crisis has been getting worse for years.
It's happening because of the political situation. That's why people are fleeing now. They have nothing to eat.
I'm supporting these migrants. They're fleeing because there's no work here. How can Donald Trump treat them as murderers?
Poverty in Honduras is on the rise, even though the government has invested more in social programs. This woman has tried seven times to reach the United States. Only once did she make it across the border, only to be deported. But her situation is so desperate that she plans to try again.
I just can't go on like this. Even if I could find a job, I wouldn't earn enough to support us. The pay is just too low. I have three children who need to be fed.
On her last journey, she was fleeing an abusive husband. She took her three children on the arduous trip. They suffered hunger and illness. Eventually, they were arrested by Mexican authorities and deported.
This is a bite wound. I reported it to the police and sought protection in Mexico as I fled with my three children. He notified the migration authorities and we spent 8 months in detention.
Women suffer other types of violence. They are victims of domestic and sexual abuse and are threatened by gangs who try to recruit their children. That's why 20% more women than men are fleeing Honduras, according to a migration expert.
They are pressured into prostitution or are forced to live with people who are involved in organized crime. It's a symptom of the vulnerability of women.
Migrants or refugees, it's hard to draw a line in a country where desperation and danger go together. For them, escape seems the only option.
Laura Carlson, let's break that down a little bit, that clip from DW, because there are references to the political situation. We need to discuss that a little bit because, you know, often when you hear people living in the United States hear something like that, the idea is, oh, there are these poor people. They really don't know how to organize themselves, you know, so that, you know, they can have a better government and a better life. And instead, they're coming to the United States. Why can't they deal with their own problems right on their home turf? So, Laura Carlson, I think we need some context here for what has happened in Honduras, including the role of the United States that has led to really a humanitarian crisis. Laura Carlson.
That's what it is. And it's been going on for a while. As people know, this exodus from Central America that began in mid-October is primarily Hondurans. Later, there have been a large number of Salvadorans, and there are some people from other countries as well, but it's primarily from Honduras. They left from San Pedro Sula, which for many years, and this is the first factor that we have to take into account, was the most violent city in the world. That has to do with the same reasons that Mexico has become so violent, the imposition of this war on drugs and militarization policy that's coming straight from the United States and that has led to the country being flooded with arms to a corrupt and illegitimate government that end up in the hands of criminals. Ever since the coup in 2009, Honduras, you always have to go back to 2009, and the military coup against the elected government, there's been a situation of complete chaos and a breakdown of all democratic institutions that's sidelined the society, that's destroyed democracy and the rule of law within the country, and that's a situation in which violent crime also thrives, oftentimes, again, as we see here in Mexico, complicit with and in collusion with the corrupt state as well. So we have the coup in 2009. The United States supports the coup, and they maneuver to make it impossible for the elected government to come back. So there's a coup-sponsored election that, on the face of it and in every sense, was completely illegitimate. You can't have an illegitimate government organize an election to legitimate itself. You know, that's just beyond all international law. And members that were close, or individuals that were close to that illegal and very violent coup government or regime, are elected to the presidency in Honduras. Then the most recent political crisis was the elections last November, in which the president, Juan Orlando Hernandez, who's very unpopular, still being protested against because of the way in which he took office, decides to re-elect himself, which is completely against the Honduran constitution. Again, through a series of maneuvers and control.
Good evening. You are tuning into KBOO 90.7 FM right here in Portland, Oregon. KBOO volunteers always come together to bring you this amazing program and others. So now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Emma and Guinevere to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hey, Rachel.
Hello.
Thanks. Hey, Emma and I and Rachel are here tonight to talk about and pitch our holiday drive. I'm just totally blah, blah, blah.
Anyway. It's Friday night.
It's Friday
party time.
Night. Party time. So we do want to throw out a thanks to Aaron from Southeast PDX. We thank you for your donation.
And also thanks to Julia from Southeast Portland. Thank you.
Yeah. Yay. And last, the last two programs, or the last program, the news program, we did reach our goal. So thank you very much for that.
Yay. You know, KBOO brings you amazing programming, like the program you're listening to right now. And it takes your contributions and your support to really make this kind of programming happen. So if you can, give us a call tonight. It's our special pledge drive. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. You can also donate online at kboo.fm. We know that you're listening right now. It's a Friday night. Maybe you've got plans. You might be getting ready to go out to a holiday party. You might be ready to go to some kind of social justice event. There's all kinds of stuff going on tonight. But you're taking time out right now to listen to KBOO because you really value our programming. You value what we have to say. You value the community that KBOO is. And so right now we're asking you just to take a few moments out and really show in one way that you support KBOO by making a donation. Maybe you could make a donation of $15 a month. $15 a month will get you $180 a year, which is really not that much money if you think about it. $15 is, like, for a lot of people, that's a living wage. That's like 1 hour's wage. So if you can think about maybe giving 1 hour of whatever you earn every month to KBOO, it really helps. It means so much. KBOO is mostly, we do tons and tons of work with volunteers. Gwen here has been a real trooper lately, doing so much volunteer work down here. But a lot of the work that we do, we really do have to pay for it. We have staff, we have licensing, we have all kinds of things that we need to pay money for. And we do that through your community support. Literally hundreds and thousands of people every year donate to KBOO. And so we're asking you right now, if you're one of those people, you haven't made a pledge yet, show a little of your holiday cheer. If you're giving to everybody else, give a little to KBOO. Give us a call right now at 877-500-5266.
Or online at kboo.fm. So, right, like Emma said, like maybe you're going to go out tonight, maybe something's going on, but it's still a little early getting ready. So just walk over to the phone, pick it up, do that $15 a month donation. It's so easy. We have volunteers sitting at the phones. They're happy to take your call. It's so simple. Everything is just streamlined. And the same way online, too. You just look for that donate button. And it just zips you right through everything.
For $300, which is $25 a month, you can get our beautiful KBOO hoodie. It's a two-sided hoodie, and it has KBOO.FM on it, and also has our repeater stations, 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 in the Valley, and 91.9 in the Gorge. So that's for a donation of $300. Our goal for this hour is $400. So if you made that $300 donation, then you would get us so close to our goal, three-quarters of the way there. If you can, give us a call at 877-500-5266 and show your support for KBOO.
Absolutely. And you can go online at kboo.fm. Look for that donate button.
So give to KBOO, and we will see you again on the flip side.
Decidir si sigo poniendo esta sangre en tierra, este corazón que bate su parche sol y tinieblas, para continuar caminando al sol para estos desiertos, para recalcar que estoy viva en medio de tantos muertos, para decidir, para continuar, para recalcar y considerar, solo me hace falta que estés aquí con tus ojos claros.
And that song, Zapatista Women. This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. If you've missed any part of this hour from 10 this morning for 90 days, just go to kpfk.org, scroll down to archives, click on Sojourner Truth, and you can also subscribe for a free podcast. And if you're a member of Facebook, you can like and friend us on Facebook. Just look for Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. And check out our website at www.sotrueradio.org. where we also have an in-depth community calendar and lots of stories that we just run out of time to cover on the news or on the air, or stories related to what we have covered on the air. On Instagram, we are at So True Radio. And today we want to give a shout out to all of our listeners along the U.S.-Mexico border, on both sides of that U.S.-Mexico border. That's our shout out to our SoundCloud listeners. And we are having an in-depth conversation with Laura Carlson, director of the Americas Program for the Center for International Policy. She's based in Mexico City, a regular contributor to Counterpunch, Fortune, America's Update of Foreign Policy and Focus, and several Spanish language publications. Laura Carlson is also a television host and commentator on NAFTA, the drug war, immigration, and gender issues for various international news outlets. She's also an activist on a number of these issues. So, Laura Carlson, before we took our station break, we were talking about the dangers that migrants face coming up from south of the border, and the thousands of lives that are lost. And I can't even imagine the heartbreak back home for the mothers and the children and the family members who are left as their loved ones go off to try to seek a better way of life, to escape from the exploitation of their home country at the hands of the U.S. and other Western powers. And even without losing a loved one along the migrant trail, the immigration process. You know, I'm an immigrant myself, and I'm still heartbroken having to leave my beautiful island and my village and the people I left behind who wept as our family left. So I don't think people understand and really can grasp the emotional, physical, and other tolls that it really takes to leave all of what you've known behind, and for good reason, right? Laura Carlson, tell us about this, because there has been a movement of mothers, and I'd like you to talk about that, for over a decade now, who have been going along the migrant trail in search of their missing loved ones. And let's talk about that first, and then talk about this a new thing that is happening with globalizing this movement. Laura Carlson.
The caravan of Central American mothers goes up through Mexico, where they last heard from their missing children. The last communication maybe came from the northern border or the southern border, and then after that, years, in some cases even more than a decade pass, without having any idea of what happened to their sons or their daughters. And they've been able to put to actually organize a meeting between the mother and the child, no longer children, of course. And these are very emotional moments. So this movement has been happening, and it's also forged, in addition to just looking for the children, their loved ones, it's also forged an identity for many of these women as activists, as human rights defenders. They've had to learn the law, they've had to learn the migrant routes, they've had to learn the geopolitical context of what happened to their children along the way, and they've become a group that's very united. They console each other, they provide each other with meaning in the midst of what can be a very devastating and individualized grief. So this process has been revolutionary in their lives, and in many cases within Mexican politics as well. Another process that's been going on for a long time here is the mothers, the Mexican mothers have disappeared, who have organized and who have created local and even national organizations to demand the search for their children, not only living, which is the focus of the Central American caravan, but also to search for remains, which is unfortunately the reality oftentimes here. And they have found thousands and thousands of human remains going out by themselves and opening, digging into the earth where they've had tips that there are clandestine graves. And the same is true for the mothers who have lost their children in the Mediterranean, which they now describe as a sea that's become a cemetery. So they got these women together with something that had never been done before here in Mexico City, okay, the 2nd through the 4th of November of 2018. So they got women together from Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, Spain and Italy, where they have the networks of support and where migrants, it's a frequent destination. Tunis, Senegal, Morocco, I'm translating here, Mauritania, and the United States. It was an amazing meeting, because what they found is they had these very different cultures and contexts in some ways, including political context, but there was a tremendous amount of similarities, which includes the kind of forced displacement we were talking about in the first part of the show. It includes the dangers that migrants face, and it includes these anti-immigrant policies that are coming from the wealthy developed countries in the north.
Right. And I mean, this, Laura, it just gets me thinking about so many different things. I mean, the idea then you have at least one West African country, a number of North African countries, which makes a lot of sense in terms of people getting there and then trying to get on these boats. And it is indeed a sea of death. And again, what is happening on the continent of Africa, so much related to the political political and economic situation there, where Africa has been so raped of its resources and wealth, and, you know, the most impoverished continent in the world, while the richest continent in the world in terms of natural resources under it, but also how the impact of the U.S. Destabilizing a country like Libya, literally killing Muammar Gaddafi, and the arms then that flowed from there into places like Mali to destabilize Mali, Morocco, talk about weapons, you know, coming into the country and therefore a lot of violence, but also you just the dire economic situation is so heartbreaking. So it's just fantastic then to have women from those countries on the continent coming together with women from Central America, and the kind of multiracial in that way, Afro and indigenous and mixed in indigenous people who are mixed. It must have been quite an experience and quite an outpouring, Laura Carlson.
Yeah, we had to get translation teams from English to Spanish to French to Arabic,
yeah.
You know, going back and forth. And wow. Yet there was an instant understanding in many ways. You know, at first, the Central American women especially, they would have thought they had nothing in common with women from Africa, and they immediately found out that they did, and especially what they always refer to as the grief and the love that motivates their movements as mothers. So one of the most powerful statements or lessons that came out of this process was the power of women, and the power of mothers in particular as a social force, because these women began to search for their sons and daughters. But what happened after that is something much bigger that transcended the individual loss and the individual search. It turned into a collective movement that challenged openly the systems that led to the death and then later the indifference toward that death by the governments, by the states, and by the economic systems, and with a very strong moral image of a mother's grief, was able to reach out to society and say something is not right here. And it's not just not right for me, a mother who has lost her child. It's not right for anybody.
Right. And were there specific demands that came out of it, or will these women, these mothers, continue to work together and perhaps expand to include mothers who have disappeared from other countries as well? Laura Carlson?
Yes, absolutely. That's the idea. And it's not just an idea. It's down on paper as part of the plan, the organizing plan for the Mother Summit here in Mexico City. There's the specific demands. There's a long list of activities that include keeping touch, creating a list of the mothers. There's going to be a new caravan from Tunisia, I think, to France. They're just beginning the process of learning from the Central American women how to carry out these caravans in Africa and Europe. They're going to continue with that. And they're calling for ending family separation. They're calling for states to live up to their international obligations in terms of respecting refugee rights, in terms of the right to life itself, and what their obligations are to search for people who are disappeared. In Mexico alone, the number of disappeared is now up to 40,000. You can
wow.
imagine how many families and beyond even the immediate family have been affected by this phenomenon, really, and that holds true for many of the other countries. They're also calling to guarantee the right to mobility, the right to free transit in these countries, because if these individuals, if their sons and daughters weren't forced into this clandestine existence just because they're trying to move across one border or another, they wouldn't have to face these kinds of risks, and they wouldn't lose their lives in the act of trying to preserve their lives by getting out of conditions where they're imminently threatened.
Yeah, you know, Laura Carlson, I could think of at least, well, there are so many examples in terms of women who've gone missing and, you know, activist women in Haiti, et cetera. But certainly here in the U.S., but also in Canada, there have been scores, over 1,000 of indigenous women who have been victims of serial murders or who have been disappeared, their families looking for them. And there is such a devaluation or a double standard in terms of the value of human life. In Southern California, I've been dealing with this whole issue of the serial murders and disappearance of hundreds of Black women in South Los Angeles. And the missing Indigenous women and the Black women victims of serial murders, I mean, they get such little attention. It's almost as though, well, these are throwaway people. So we, you know, they don't deserve respect and attention like when one white Euro blonde student or whatever goes missing and then it becomes national news. So I could see something like this global movement of mothers. You know what I mean? That of also looking at the situation of Indigenous women, of Black women in the United States as well. Do you know what I mean, Laura?
Yes, definitely. So the problem is twofold. One is, as these societies, such as the United States society clearly now, becoming more openly racist in the context of anti-immigrant movements, there's a real battle to try to make the society more sensitive to the fact that we are mothers like you, whatever color you are. Mm-hmm. We feel this pain. Our children matter. It's tragic that you'd have to say something like that even in a society,
right.
But that is the case.
And you are tuning into KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. You are listening to a special coverage of Sojourner Truth on international news. KBOO volunteers always come together to bring you amazing programs just like this. We really cherish and we really work hard to make sure that we have programs that are applicable to our trying times. And now we are joined with Emma and Guinevere to give us more info about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hi, we're back here at Pledge Central. That was such powerful testimony that we were just hearing. I mean, if we don't listen to our mothers, if we don't listen to our mothers and our immigrant mothers who are, you know, doing everything that they can to ensure the survival of the next generation and caring in the most deep and heartfelt way about the truth, then who are we going to listen to? These are our voices. These are the voices that we need to follow. We need to listen to. We need to really pay attention to. And you're not going to hear this kind of discussion on corporate media. You're not going to hear it on, you know, the corporate media that it, you know, fills up the airwaves here in Portland. But here at KBOO, you will hear truth. You will hear truth that is spoken deeply and spoken profoundly from women of color, from immigrant mothers, from people who are struggling against a system that is trying to oppress them, trying to put them down, trying to make them invisible, and they are resisting. And we are resisting here at KBOO too. We're resisting, and we put these voices front and center because KBOO believes that these voices matter. These voices are the most important voices that we need to be listening to right now at this hour in this moment. So I'm asking right now if you can just take a minute out from your busy evening. I'm sure you have lots of plans, but just take a minute out. Give us a call at 877-500-5266 and show your community that you care about KBOO, that you care about this programming, that you care about the voices of women of color, that you care about the voices of immigrants, you care about the voices of immigrant children, that this kind of programming matters to you. That's why you're listening right now, because you want a different world. You see that another world is possible, and KBOO is helping to highlight that. We're helping to uplift those truths. Give us a call right now, 877-500-5266.
You know, one of the things we're resisting is complacency. You know, we we start to take so many things for granted. We start to take corporate news information like it's fact, all of these kind of things. Here at KABU, we can do it, you know, you can do it. You can come down to the station, you can take some courses, you can get some radio time, you can volunteer. This is a wide open place for you to help express community views, your family views, your views. You can do it all by calling 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Look for that donate button. We have a hoodie we talked about the last pitch time. It's $25 a month. It's two-sided, it's nice and thick and heavy, and it's perfect for days like today. So come on down, give us a call, go online, pitch in, and help KABU keep bringing you all these fantastic shows.
There are so many ways that you can give at KABU. You can go donate online. You can give us a call on the telephone at 877-500-5266. You can come on down to the KABU studios at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. You can make a donation here. You can volunteer. There's so many ways to get involved. KABU is a vibrant and dynamic community. And we're just asking you to take a minute out of your evening right now and get involved. Get involved in any way you can, but mostly just do something.
Para decidir si sigo poniendo esta sangre en tierra, este corazón que bate su parche sol y tinieblas, para continuar caminando al sol para estos desiertos.
Of the commitment that she assumed after the first day that she went out to try to find her missing daughter. And that's what's happened. That's the kind of transformation that happens both to the women and to their movements as they begin to organize on this level.
Right, and mothers so often at the forefront of struggles for justice. I see in the statement from Selma James and Nina Lopez where they say mothers everywhere are the first line of defense for our children and for the whole community. So, and every Thursday, the mothers of the disappeared were out there, and I know in relation to Haiti, when we are out there protesting people who disappear, who have disappeared, and demanding them back, we often chose Thursday as that date in recognition of the inspiration of the mothers of the disappeared in Argentina. Now, finally, the time has really, really flown. And given this in-depth discussion of really such a human and beautiful movement and movements coming up south of the border, from the Zapatista women to the mothers organizing themselves in Central America and Argentina and elsewhere, is then very, very difficult to hear this. But this is what people living in the United States are hearing, and I imagine people living in Mexico responding to. And that's what we'll deal with finally. Here's Donald Trump on Mexicans.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. They beat us at the border. People are flowing through. Drugs are coming across, pouring across. We're going to have our borders nice and strong. We're going to build the wall. I'm going to build a wall, and Mexico's going to pay for it, right? Calderon, former president, Calderon said, Mexico will not pay for the wall. Could we have your comment? I said, yes. The wall just got 10 feet higher. We have a tremendous deficit. We have a trade deficit with Mexico. They'll pay for the wall. They'll be very happy about it. Believe me, I'll talk to them.
This is going
to
be a wall. This isn't one of those deals where they jump over it. They go to Home Depot, buy a ladder, jump over the wall. This is a serious, this is a Trump wall.
We're going to do the wall. And by the way, who's going to pay for the wall?
Laura Carlson, very jarring indeed. Just final thoughts from you and the impact that has had of people who are binational, for example, living in Mexico, but just generally the reaction in Mexico.
I'm an immigrant. I've been here for 30 years now. I have a deep love for my community in the United States and for my community here in Mexico, and it breaks my heart. It started during the campaign, even before he won. I just the thought that so many people in the United States could fall for this image of the Mexican people that I know and love as invaders, as criminals, as rapists, you know, these vast generalities that have nothing to do with human beings, you know. This is completely, again, a dehumanization. So it's a very, very dangerous. It's a manipulation for political purposes. It's tragic in human terms, and the worst of it is that it's going to lead, and already has led, to policies that take human lives, like the lives of all these people who have been disappeared as a result of the U.S.-sponsored war on drugs in Mexico, the lives of all the immigrants who have died in the deserts, in the oceans, and in the mountains as they tried to make their way to a safer and more decent life for them and their families.
Yeah, and it seems...
It's a huge challenge.
Yeah, and this stuff is getting globalized. I mean, Bannon is running around and, you know, internationally really trying to whip up this kind of racist, you know, white supremacist, you know, worldview. And we see these kind of strong, quote-unquote, strong men, you know, coming to power in places like Brazil and in Poland and other places. So as mothers, we have our work cut out for us, don't we? Because first line of defense of children and the whole community.
Absolutely. It really is a battle of life against death, because it's a system of death that prioritizes money over human beings, as I said before, and mothers are defending life. And not just the fact that they have given birth, but that the fact that they're so tied to caregiving and to activities that depend on and that sustain communities. So there is a national, international movement out there that Steve Bannon's whipping up. You have to watch out, because it's not only evident in the countries where the ultra-right has taken power, but where there's growing right movements that still haven't taken power, but that are poisoning societies every day. So it's an international movement. We have to create an international movement to confront it.
Right, and to build from what is already there. Well, Laura Carlson, I'm so sorry to say we're out of time. We're going to have to continue this discussion some way, somehow, but we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Margaret. Thank you very much.
Okay, today's show produced by Margaret Prescott. I'd like to thank our board op for today, and I'd like to thank our assistant producer, Romero Funes. If you'd like a copy of today's show, please contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230 or go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. Thank you for listening. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today.
Breakfast provided by Daily Cafe, located in the Pearl District at 902 Northwest 13th Avenue, serving seasonal breakfast, lunch, along with wine spirits, open daily for breakfast and late lunch.
Lunch provided by Paninoteca, a European-style pushcart serving sandwiches with gluten-free options. Paninoteca is located downtown and open Monday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. More details can be found at paninotecapdx.com.
Dinner provided by Danwei Fanting, located at 803 Southeast Stark Street. Chinese homestyle dishes prepared daily from 11:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. or later. Dinner was delivered by Caviar. Caviar provides food deliveries from restaurants all over Portland.
For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Sure. Hey, here we are, KBOO, doing our holiday fundraiser. We want to toss a thanks out to Marion, a renewing member from Southeast Portland. Thank you very much, Marion. You know, shows like the last few shows that have been on, if you've been listening for a bit, Counterspin, Sojourner Truth, we're coming up on the next show with Alyssa, which is called The Struggle. All these shows are brought to you from volunteers. They're brought to you from KBOO staff. These are all things that are put together and produced by volunteers, individuals that have chosen a show to do, and they think that that's important in the community, and then they're able to put it out. So all these things are brought to you from a whole lot of volunteer work and
Yeah, they are. Volunteer work is so important down here. And that's why, you know, KBOO is a community-driven radio station. So volunteer work is really first and foremost in our set of priorities. But another thing that we do need here at KBOO is we do need money. Quite frankly, you know, it takes money to make a radio station work. And KBOO does so much more with its money than corporate radio stations do in corporate media. I mean, your dollar goes so far here at KBOO. It's amazing. We have this incredible staff that, like, basically works for peanuts. I mean, who does so much amazing work. They're here all the time. Anytime that you're down here, there's always, like, four or five staff here. They're all, like, incredible people. And the only way that we can, like, support our staff, that we can pay for our license, that we can pay the bills and keep the electricity on, is through your donations. So if you would consider making a donation tonight, you know, a really good amount, like, to give is whatever it is that you can afford. So if you can afford, you know, $300 a year for $25 a month, then you'll get the KBOO hoodie, which is a great donation. But if you don't make that much money, maybe you are a working class person like me, and maybe you can't afford to give $300. Like, to me, that would seem like a lot of money. So maybe you could give something more in line with what you can afford. Maybe you could give, like, $60. That's only $5 a month. And that's a great donation. Like, every donation at KBOO matters. If you can give $25, that's great. If you can give $300, that's great. If you can give your entire estate, that's great, too. We'll take it all. And we will do good with all of it. That's the point. And it's all equal, because at KBOO, every voice matters. And every donation matters, too. So give us a call right now, 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm, and make your donation today.
Mm-hmm. Just to give you an idea, roughly 7,500 hours of programming every year is made locally right here at KBOO. This is, you know, people coming in with interest, with concerns, with ideas that they want to share with the community. And you can be part of that. You can be part of that by coming down. You can be part of that by donating. We have all different kinds of ways you can donate, all different amounts. And like Emma said, it's like basically it's like what you feel you can afford, what you would like to put in as a donation. All of the money here comes in does go directly into the station.
It does. And, you know, KBOO is a really amazing space. I mean, I can testify that personally. Here at KBOO right now, we have two trans women pitching. We're about to go to another show hosted by a trans woman of color, an amazing show with one of the most important activists in Portland right now. And this is the kind of programming that only comes from a community radio station that prioritizes the voices of people that you really need to hear. You really need to hear Alyssa's show coming up next. You need to, like, hear some truth. And you just listen to Sojourner Truth Radio Hour, which is, like, incredible truth about the struggles of people from El Salvador, immigrant folks who are trying to get, you know, some kind of justice. And and they're telling you truths that, like, you really need to hear and we need to know about. And the only way that we can continue to bring you these truths every week, every day, really, every hour, is by your donation. So every bit you can get, if you can give $5, that's great. If you can give $60, which is $5 a month, that's wonderful. If you can give $300 and get the KBOO hoodie, that's only $25 a month. Mm-hmm. And that's a great donation. Give us a call, 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm.
Thanks, y'all, so much. Like they said, give to KBOO. We need your support for our community radio. Up next is Alyssa Pariah with The Struggle. But right now, happy Friday. Let's turn up. So that's probably